Every once in a while, you kind of look closely at the box score or whatever and go, wow, that's weird. Victor Hedman's goal last night was his third of this season. Now, you know, nobody's ever going to confuse him with Bobby Orr and Paul Coffey in terms of offensive statistics, but he's piled up some pretty decent numbers over the years. He had a very slow start to this year. All-round game, certainly the numbers, and everybody says his name has started, or his game has started to round into shape as the season has gone on, but there's one that kind of just jumps off the page at you. Only 3 goals for Victor Hedman 50 games into the season.
Yeah, and you always think of him, JR, first of all, with that shot, how sneaky it is, right? And also his ability to keep it low and get it through traffic. But I do think, and again, for all these guys, kind of the cumulative part, and I guess what's impressive, unlike Colorado, they can afford to have guys kind of, okay, trying to get going here. He's battled injuries in the past, and they're still in a great spot playoff-wise, right? And that is a nice luxury to have where you're that darn good of a team where it's going to be touch and go for Colorado to make the playoffs. But you're right, and I just think mentally for some of these guys to really check into the hotel is right about now, just as it gets serious, and now you're gearing up for what should be a hell of a playoff, especially between them and Toronto, and one of those two teams playing Boston in the second round.
Yep, we will see on that. But Tampa-Boston was a big heavyweight battle last night, and there was your game winner, 3-2. The Lightning won that game, only the Bruins' 6th regulation time loss this season in 48 games. Yeah. Just astounding.
Yeah, and you hear a lot of the Bo Horvat talk, and I think for any team, but for Donnie Sweeney and having gone through this and built some very good teams with Bruce Cassidy, obviously the last cup was in 2011. That sense of, first of all, who you're going to have to face in the first couple of rounds, but just kind of, hey, why not, I guess, push the chips all in at this point? Why not? You know, you're having this kind of year. Krejci's come back. Who knows how long that's going to last? Where's Bergeron going to end up going? Might as well just unload and try to win a cup.
Yeah, I do, but then I look at what Boston has in terms of what Vancouver would want, which is, you know, significant assets, both in terms of prospects and picks or whatever, and they do have the picks, but Boston's cupboard is pretty much bare.
Good point.
Especially on a high-end prospect that you go, okay, that's a for sure NHLer. I don't know, that does Boston have even one of those players right now?
No, it's a good point.
They're willing to get on their team right now?
Yeah, some of the stuff, and again, everything's thrown out, but you know, Jake DeBrusk was mentioned. I'm thinking, okay, I think they're probably the same age.
Subtracting to add, right?
Well, that's probably they're the same age, too.
Kind of the same player, other than Horvat's a center.
Yeah. Right? Jake's been, you know, much better under Jimmy Montgomery. But to your point, I mean, hey, on the case of Bo Horvat, that's going to be a first-round pick, and that's probably going to be a real good prospect or whatever else on top of it, right? I mean, however you put these things together, whether you're looking for quantity or quality.
All right, we had an early morning conversation and visit with Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider. As always, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. We found Dave in Montreal. He did the Habs-Wings game last night. Dave, how are you?
Always excellent on a Friday. And, you know, when you need a little pickup at the end of the month, the NHL schedule will deliver it, because for me, you know, I principally cover 4 teams, and when they're all playing each other at the end of the month, it's just perfect for me. It's great because you measure each individually when you're doing their games. And, you know, I do a lot of Montreal and Ottawa and Winnipeg and Toronto, and all in different capacities, studio, color, and different. I get different views on them. I look at them in different ways, but when I see them head to head, it's really fun for me. So you've got Ottawa and Toronto tonight, and then a couple of Ottawa and Montreal stand off the month. This is perfect for me, guys.
And you saw Montreal twice this week, including last night, a pretty exciting game with the Detroit Red Wings. They end up losing in overtime, but Montreal led by the all-Laval line last night. Are they getting maybe a little more production and a little better play than maybe we all had suspected, given how many players they have out with injury right now?
There's no question about it, JR. And they've been good for 3 or 4 games now. And, you know, it's an interesting mix and makeup. Pezzetta has played the most in the NHL. The other night they were at exactly 100 games between the three of them. 79 of those were Michael Pezzetta. And then Alex Belzile is a 31-year-old, undrafted, 5 years in the ECHL, 5 years in the American League before he saw the NHL. And then Raphael Harvey-Pinard is a really interesting one, because I think he's a long-term situation in terms of a fourth-line role player, big-time speed, and really energized the group. And so it's an interesting use of 11 and 7, 11 forwards and 7 D. But what they've done is they've basically gone 8 and 3. So their top 8 they rotate through. And then the fourth line, they leave as a fourth line. So usually in this case, you know, there's two guys on that fourth line. They don't get much ice, and it's very different. And they've used that fourth line in an energy role. They've rotated and feeling that their top eight can help each other better off. And so Dvorak and Dadonov are the de facto third line, and they get one of the top six to play with. It's an interesting use of the players. I think it's creative, and it sort of gives that line a de facto identity. And when they go out, they've executed. But to score three goals last night, one shorty, and you know, and a couple of really good goals on one on a forecheck, one on a rush play, that's just a bonus, I think, for Martin Saint-Louis. But something you need. And you know, when you get that opportunity as a fourth line player, they're putting them in a perfect situation to succeed at what they do.
Two-thirds of the way through the season, Pooley, kind of give us a little state of where Detroit's program's at.
I think maybe a little behind where they were hoping, and yet, you know, they're kind of hanging around. And, you know, are they it looks like Buffalo has now elevated. We talk about the group of four in the bottom of the Atlantic Division. It appears that Buffalo is saying something differently. But Detroit was a team that I thought could potentially be above the group. And I say that, and it was sort of an interesting move, quiet moves by C.V. Yzerman over the summer to bring in a David Perron, to bring in an Andrew Kopp, you know, pretty good players and a little bit older. And I think that the sneaky trade was Ville Husso. He got him for a third rounder, and that's a pretty good pickup. He had a terrific record last year in St. Louis, but they wanted to reestablish Binnington in St. Louis. And so he was able, and that was a July, you know, early July, maybe eighth trade that he was able to move. So I think they thought they were going to accelerate a little bit more. But that being said, guys, we were looking last night, and they've got a host of UFAs on this hockey team. And, you know, there's five forwards and another four defensemen and a goaltender. He can clean 10 contracts off of there if he chooses to do so. Now, a couple of those players are Dylan Larkin and Tyler Bertuzzi, you know, who are 26 and 27-year-olds who you're assuming he wants to sign, but if they price themselves out of the market, who knows? And Steve Yzerman can reshape this entire group and put them with some of his young stars in a hurry if he so chooses.
I'm always interested in how the 2020 top end of the draft guys do. You got a chance to see Lucas Raymond last night, who had a really good rookie year. This year, at least numbers-wise, he's fallen back a little bit. What's your assessment of his play and what you saw last night?
I still see growth there. I really like this player. I think he's smart. He's playing. Now, they haven't had Bertuzzi, and that's part of the numbers situation. I believe that was his 16th game last night. And when he's with Larkin and Raymond, they're very effective. I mean, Bertuzzi's an agitator, but he shoots the puck every time he touches it. And so they know the puck's going to the net. But I like Raymond's game. When we watched him, he was playing with that Alex Holtz that was a first-rounder as well. They went to Jersey, and they played for that Frölunda, that powerhouse team in Göteborg in Sweden. And so I saw a lot of him when he was young. I really like him. He's smart. He's kind of a combo platter in that his willingness to shoot the puck is there as well. A little more of a goal scorer than some of the young guys are. But I think that player, I'm not sure, JR, that they have that star forward. You know, when you think of Yzerman trying to recreate Tampa, well, he had Kucherov and Stamkos and Point up front. I don't think he's got that player yet. Raymond may be the closest. I don't see Larkin. I see Larkin as a two. I don't see Larkin as a first-line player. And I think that's why he's not signed, and that's why they're still battling, you know, to see where that UFA goes. But I like Lucas Raymond. I think he's a smart player.
Can Sider turn into, not necessarily Hedman, but kind of in that range as your true number one?
He can. And the other kid they have coming, Simmers, the 21-year-old Simon Edmondson, the big 6-foot, six, who looks more like Hedman. I think Sider can be like Hedman, and it took Hedman a little while too. You know, he's a big guy. He's got a mean edge to him that I really like, and so I think they're going to have two shots at a top pairing guy in Sider first and then Edmondson slightly behind.
You mentioned you keep your eye on four teams in particular because you end up doing a lot of their games, and then you've also mentioned Buffalo so far during this. Buffalo went into Winnipeg last night and beat the Jets 3-2. They've won five games in a row. And can the Buffalo Sabres make the playoffs, Dave?
I think they can. And, I think the more I see them play, I mean, they're coming together pretty well. And you know, they did a good job of reshaping that roster and with players who want to be in Buffalo. And that's an important factor for them, I think. I think Alex Tuck is from Rochester, so he's an upper state New York guy, Tage Thompson. So some of the deals that they've made for some of their star players, Tage Thompson is, back to Ryan O'Reilly deal, and he's so come into his own. But the makeup of their team, now they've got, we talked about Detroit and a couple of defensemen. You know, Owen Power has now scored in three straight games. You're not looking at him as a scorer, but, you know, they've got potentially two number top pairing guys, and he and Rasmus Dahlin, who's really come into his own. And, you know, we forget, but that's still a young player. But I think they do, and they've got some, you know, if you're looking for a support defenseman, Big Samuelson, Matthias Samuelson, Shell Samuelson's son, he was out early in the year. When they went through their losing stretch, he was out. And I talked to Donnie Granato about it, and he said he's such an important partner for whomever he's playing with. He was a big, hard guy to play against. And eyebrows went up when he signed a longer-term deal because he hadn't scored a goal in the NHL. That's not what he does. He fills space. He creates, you know, space for his partner, and he defends very well. And so I think they can sneak in there. Now, whose expense is that going to be at? Right now, you would say Pittsburgh or Washington, but I think Buffalo is going to be there. Florida's chomping at their heels right now, too. But I think it will be between Florida and Buffalo if someone pushes up into that top grouping.
I watched a lot of that game, Pooley, and they dominated. Was that catching Winnipeg coming off of the road a little bit flat, or is that just a test of how good Buffalo is?
I think it's a little bit of both, Zimmer. I think they, you know, when you get back after five road games, as Winnipeg had, and they had a disappointing end to it, they played really well in Nashville and lost that game 2-1. And so I think you get home for that first game. And is that an excuse? Is that an old, you know, a back-to-back excuse, off a road trip excuse, a first game of the road trip excuse? The good teams seem to find ways to eliminate those excuses, Zimmer, and you don't want to hear it, but I think it's a real thing.
We've talked so much this year, Dave, about Ottawa getting behind the eight ball in terms of the losing streak at the beginning of the season, how hard it is to make up ground. There were eight games in the NHL last night, or eight or nine, whatever it was. I opened up my app at one point to check out the scores. Eight of the nine games, they were all underway. Only two in the first. The other were well into the game. Eight of the nine were tied. Only the Buffalo-Winnipeg game, actually, one team had a lead. Just to speak to how close the league is. We had numerous games going to overtime and shootouts last night. Like, it's crazy how much have... I'll ask you this, and it's an anecdotal answer on your part, but, I mean, have you ever seen the game, the league, as close as it is this year?
No, I think that's a fair statement. I really do, and I think it's because, some of the teams, if you look at, just in the Atlantic Division, if you look at Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa, and Montreal, I think those four clubs are all on the rise. And you might say Montreal's not quite there yet, but they're hard to play against. Montreal just in the last 2 weeks beat New York Rangers in New York, beat Winnipeg, beat the Leafs. So you can't say, that they're not a hard team to play against. And they played very well against Detroit last night. Now, to your point, JR, when you're working and you're looking at those scores, it's a distraction, okay? Because I flipped them on during commercials. And then you see, thankfully these games were over. They were all a little bit later, but you see Chicago hammer the Flames 5-1. The Ducks beating the Avs, which I was able to watch the end of, and Coyotes shutting out the Blues 5-0. Yeah. So it's not only that they're close. I mean, if anybody had Chicago, Ducks, and Coyotes winning last night as a group, they're a much smarter man than me because I just don't see that. So now if you're the Flames, Avs, and Blues, the Avs looked like they were coming. I think they won six in a row going into last night against the Ducks, and they managed to lose to Anaheim. That was at home. And so I think there's a lot of hockey left to be played. I look at this little window here, and I always segment the season, and there's two or three games left before the All-Star break, and then a three-week period before the trade deadline when I think we're going to see some great, great hockey.
Awesome. Okay, Ridly Greig made his debut for the Sens on Wednesday night, and we spent lots of time talking about him and his game, and I know it is only one game. And tonight will be different on the road and in Toronto. But what did you think of the Sens rookie for game one?
Everything was positive. for me. I think he energized Claude Giroux and Alex DeBrincat, and I think he energized the team. There's an excitement. I never, ever lost this in my 12-plus years of being in a locker room when a player plays his first NHL game. And, you know, and your games blur together, guys. They just do. And you know, you play a few hundred, whatever you play, and I was 725. They have to blur together. There's too many of them not to. But some things stand out, and players' first games stand out to me to this day. And I can recall some of the guys that I played with and watching them. And I would sit quietly in the locker room, and I'd have one eye on them and just watch their motions and watch. And you would see there'd be at various points of disbelief, comfort, angst, you know, all these different things when you're watching a player play his first game. And I think that energy is contagious. I really do. Particularly when you think, and this is selfish on everybody's part, that he can help you. And I think there's a feeling, and there was a feeling going in, that Ridly Greig was going to be a player that could help because of then he's a little bit of a hybrid in today's game. Number one, he loves contact, and that's rare. And even the confidence to shoot the puck as much as he did on his first night, playing with a veteran that he was playing with in Giroux and the established goal scorer he was playing with in DeBrincat, all positive for me, all positive. And, you know, yes, he'll have some work to do in the faceoff circle, and Claude Giroux will be a help there. But I think overall, you look at it as a snapshot and say, you know, this is a player that the Ottawa Senators are going to be able to count on moving forward.
You also expect him to be in the middle of it in rivalry games against Toronto and Montreal?
I think he's relishing this weekend more than you and I are, Simmer. I really do. I mean, you know, from his standpoint, now he's had a taste of it. This is the beauty of the way the minors are constructed more and more now, where, you know, he probably already dislikes Toronto nicely because of his games against the Marlies, and he dislikes Lavelle even more because of his games, or Montreal because of his games against Lavelle. So it's already started. You think about, he's going into this game, these games against Montreal on Saturday and Monday, and looking at, you know, Harvey Pinard and Belzile and Benintendi. Wait a second, I've seen these guys before. So I think it's all good.
All right, Dog Day's a winner. Good to have a couple of rivalry games this weekend for Ottawa. Toronto tonight and Montreal tomorrow. You'll be watching as well. Enjoy it. Look forward to it. And have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Then 1200 presents Fetch and Breakfast, powered by FanDuel. Make every moment more on FanDuel, North America's number one sportsbook.
All right. Simmer got her eye on the, you took the Bruins last night over Tampa, huh?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. You took the under, so you nailed that one.
I thought she'd be tight, but I expected, but he is.
And passed out a nice assist, but did not have a goal.
Yeah, I'm on a little bit of a goalless streak. Now, I'll also say this on the ad coming in, Jer. It would be fun on a busy night, say on a Saturday night, to just go through and, depending on the time of the game, go for that first five shots on goal. That'd be a fun one to see, kind of look at, hey, do you think Winnipeg's a little tired last night? And
right.
Buffalo's coming in, or how are you going to react? Or teams that start fast.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Who are you picking first of five tonight, Ottawa, Toronto?
Yeah, well, you know, you know what's so funny, though? Like, the Leafs, as well as they play, they're very methodical in their approach, and it would not shock me at all with Ridly Greig in the lineup and the excitement of a Friday game or any game playing in Toronto that Ottawa doesn't come out with a start, but I would go with Toronto.
All right. Okay, so here's what we got. Leafs are goal and a half favorite tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. The over-under is 6.5. You wanted me to look at, surprise, Austin Matthews' goal. Minus 108. So you got to got to bet 1080 to win 10.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Austin Matthews. So I can also give you, Simmer, a combo, a little parlay here of the Leafs and the over of 5.5 pays one, is plus 145. That's a little combo.
Okay.
You can do on FanDuel if you want to do that. Or you can do it individually.
Okay, so and again, just explain, so that you're, I'm going to bet that the Leafs themselves would score more than 5.5 goals?
No,
sorry.
The over in the game.
Yeah. Okay, okay. Well, no, I'm going to take the over in the game, the first one, 6.5.
Yep.
This will be at least a 4-3. I think Ottawa will end up playing well. And I will take Austin Matthews to score. I feel like, again, this sets up for one of those nights. They'll have a nice old wrist or twister right over the glove of Forsberg.
So you're taking the Sens with a goal and a half?
No, I'm going to take the Leafs.
No, I
over,
know, but
over.
No, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're not betting the 1.5.
No, okay. I'm just betting the over, and I'm going to end up taking Austin Matthews.
All right, okay. I'm gonna put in the math. How much are you gonna spend here? 10? Make it easy.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, I'll lock me in on that. I'll get on the app there and figure out how much you're gonna win.
Okay.
Because I think that's what we need to kind of get this thing going.
Okay.
We need to put some of your hard-earned shekels down, right? Put
that
the pressure
be a good
on
idea.
You.
Hey, yeah.
Make every moment more on FanDuel, North America's number one sports book. All right, let's get some texts that have rolled in. Oh, should mention. Okay, a couple things. First of all, congrats to Jonathan McDonald, way back when at Trivia Question. Collectively, we have some applause for Jonathan, or he doesn't deserve it?
Well, I want to know what he wins first, then I
You
do
know
the
what he won.
Yeah, but the good listener has forgotten because it took you so long to announce it.
Random assault.
Not bad.
Jonathan has won a 4-pack of tickets to see the 67s in the Gatineau Olympique. TD Place Arena, Thursday, February the 9th. TSN 1200 Shoot to Win night. So, Jonathan, you or one of your three guests could be chosen to do the Shoot to Win, and you might walk out with $1,000. But you're going to be at the game on us, so enjoy. Jonathan knew the answer to this skill testing question. Collectively, how many Memorial Cups have the 67s and the Olympique won, whether you want to call them the Hull Olympique or Gatineau? And collectively, they have won three. Two for Ottawa, 84 and 99, and one for then known as Hull, in 1997 under Claude Julien.
Yeah, and that 84, JR, one of my best memories, I think, growing up of watching junior hockey. And right around that time, I think, was when Global started to have the game of the week. But that Memorial Cup in particular, I believe it would have ended on a Sunday in Kitchener. Just remember hunkering down to watch Ottawa versus Kitchener, of course, and how exciting that was with Darren Pang in goal, Bruce Cassidy. And never forget, I can't remember if it was Bruce Cassidy who dumped the puck in, and Ray LeBlanc, who went on to play great games for the United States in the Olympics in early 90s, ended up out of the net, obviously, and it went in off the stanchion. That's one of my big memories. But that was a big, big Memorial Cup, and lots of fun to watch. Star-studded lineups on both sides.
All right. So congratulations, Jonathan. We're going to play Sens or Sensibility in about 5 minutes. So if you're available in 5 minutes, you're going to take a quick break. It's going to be a quick segment. Take a break, come back, play Sens or Sensibility. If you're available in 5 minutes and you'd like to play, here's what's up for grabs. Pair of 100-level seats to see the Sens versus the Flames. It's a Monday night game. February the 13th is the date of the game. 100-level seats. Pair of them up for grabs. Sens or Sensibility. If you'd like to play, text us at 12-1200. Right now, all we need is your first and last name, and I'm available. That's all you got to say. We'll draw one name. Get your name into us in the next 3-4 minutes. We'll draw one name. That person will play the game. Okay. I was going to bring up this question, and then AJ in Old Ottawa East wanted to throw a wrench at this. I'd like to throw a wrench, he writes, at the Buffalo Sabres because, quote, the Sabres are who we thought the Sens would be. That's from AJ.
Is that you?
Been a tough week in Vancouver, hey?
It
got
has.
A tough couple of weeks.
Now, on this.
Yeah.
And because as we were replaying the interview with Pooley, and then I brought up Buffalo, and he thinks that Buffalo's got a chance to make the playoffs. And, hey, they're only 3 points out. They're playing great hockey. They've won 5 in a row. And I'll ask this, but I'll ask collectively the good listener as well on this. And I want you to be honest with your answer. Is there a degree of jealousy among Sens fans over the Buffalo Sabres? And I ask that only because I think at the start of the season, right, if we had asked, and we know we're sort of preaching to the converted here, the most people listening, certainly there's far more Ottawa Senator fans than Buffalo Sabre fans. I think if we had asked at the start of the season, hey, which team is going to be better? Which team, we might have even asked, which team has, you know, albeit an outside shot, but a shot at the playoffs? I think collectively, most people would have said Ottawa. Mm-hmm. And I think even outsiders with an unbiased eye would have said Ottawa. And yet here we are, the Sens are out of it. And the Sabres are only 3 points out. And add to that, you talk about your kind of core seven sort of pieces that you want in place to be good now and better as you go forward. Man, Buffalo's, we've debated long long and hard about Ottawa's core players. Mm-hmm. And I think we all agree we like them. But man, Buffalo's got some unbelievable pieces. And they got a pile of cap space, too. holy cow, like Okposo's coming off their cap this year. He makes $6 million. They've got the most cap space right now of any team in the NHL. Now they're gonna have to sign some young guys. They'll get Dylan Cousins, gonna get some good money.
Yeah.
But they're in great shape cap wise. And man, like Lukanen looks like he's the future guy in goal. Mm-hmm. He's played better this year. You start with the defense of Dahlin and Power, and then you add like Tage Thompson. Like this is 2 years in a row. I think we can agree he's the real deal now.
Oh man, watching a big guy like that shoot the puck here.
And then some of the other pieces they have up front as well. Like fast forward on Buffalo, this is so if you're a Sens fan, like a. Kind of looking with a little, sort of a side eye and going, man, that was supposed to be us this year.
Yeah. Well, a couple things you point to, and no doubt, because I think at the start of the year, JR, I wasn't bullish necessarily on Detroit, but it was kind of, hey, we're all three. They'd made a lot of changes. You're trying to kind of forecast. Without a doubt, I thought Ottawa would be the better of the two between that and Buffalo, and I just was not sold on Buffalo's goaltending. Like, there was no way that Craig Anderson... Now, we've always liked Lukanen back to the Sudbury days, JR, but without knowing that, well, all of a sudden it's come together. And if you want to measure it and you get into the drafting and it's finally a core, I mean, I do think the biggest difference in where they're at, and it took 4 years since the Ryan O'Reilly trade, but that's not far off of Mark Stone. But hitting on Eichel and hitting on that trade now where Tage Thompson and Tuck have come in, not to mention Krebs, I think is really the difference of where the two programs are at right now, to be quite honest with you. That layer that Ottawa has as far as draft and development is outstanding, but there's realistically, outside of the massive Carlson haul, which was for a lot of futures, you got nothing to show for basically Mark Stone. Nothing to show for the whole Duchesne in and out. Nothing to really show for any of the other pieces. Almost everything that's in your program right now has been draft and development, JR. Mm-hmm. And on Buffalo, they hit on those, the Tuck and Tage Thompson. And I know it took 4 years, but still. Those two big pieces right in there when cashing out guys like Eichel and Ryan O'Reilly is, to me, the difference right now. And they have really turned the corner. Like, you know, when you start to talk about a volume, you're not even forcing Jack Quinn, who you know is going to be a hell of a player, right? Like, you're at a spot now where you're allowed to just keep guys down to marinate and turn into good players versus forcing. Like, a few years ago, was it Casey Milstead?
Yep.
You know, different players where, you know, you're just pushing. No, they've got enough volume. Now, to that... We know historically they have a really hard time signing free agents. So if you're going to stay this, you don't force anything. There will be good players available, not going crazy.
There might be some cap dumps.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Versus, you know, historically when they've tried to go out and sign free agents, you go back to Ville Leino and Erhoff. It's just never worked. Right. But you're right. And it's good. You know, I feel different because, first of all, I love Donnie Granato. But for that market, it has been a long, long time.
Right.
And I think it's great to see as a hockey fan.
And I know before I start reading or looking at all the texts that'll come in and go, yeah, but Buffalo's been terrible for way longer than Ottawa. Collectively, yes. Ottawa's had a few sips in terms of the playoffs and some great stories, right? 2013 beating Montreal, Hamburglar run, 2015, 2017 run to the semifinals, the conference finals. Those were all great moments, real little snapshots. But overall, I mean, let's face it, it's been the last 10 to 12 years have not been great here in Ottawa. There's just been these little spurts, and they've kind of collectively kept us going. The last six have been bad, don't get me wrong. And the Sabres collectively have been terrible for about 15 years. Yeah. But boy, and I understand, they started a rebuild and then got to the Eichel part, and then they had to start again. So they've gone through two of them. Whereas Ottawa, I think, is probably, well, they've done one big one here in 20. Anyway, just my overall point here is that kind of look at Buffalo and go, man, they've got it looks like everything in order.
Yeah.
Whereas Ottawa still has question marks.
Yeah, and if you're going to look to try to leap over Tampa at some point or Toronto, right now it's Buffalo. And to Kevin Adams as well, I kind of laugh. Come on, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's gotten the job. And to that, JR, when he took over from Botterill, I looked at Skinner's contract. I looked at the Eichel situation. I looked at just the overall. I thought, man, nobody's going to be able to turn this thing around. And that magical piece of not only getting good value for Eichel, but bringing in Tuck, who is from there and is so proud to be a Buffalo Sabre. Like I said, that along with lots of other things and a Donnie Granato has just turned the mentality and the pride of the program around, which is so important.
Be a great rivalry for Ottawa going forward here. Looks like for a long time to come. All right, we'll take a break and take a real quick break and come back and play Sensor Sensibility for the 100 level Sen seats. And then next hour, Duke Ellington will jump in. We'll talk some NFL playoffs, get some predictions for the conference championships coming up on Sunday. That's next, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Contestant for Sense or Sensibility this morning is Brian. How you doing this morning, Brian?
Good. How are you guys?
Excellent. Thank you. What are you up to this weekend? What's the most exciting thing on the docket?
Oh, big flag football match tonight.
Flag football?
Yes, sir.
At night?
Yeah.
In the dome.
In the dome?
Oh, in the dome. All right.
Okay. JR, you didn't think they were playing outdoors, did you?
I played snow football before.
Wow.
I could get into a story about that. All right. Like a championship game, Brian, or what?
No, just the regular season.
What's the name of your team?
We are the Neighborhood Watch.
The Neighborhood Watch. Sweet. Who are you taking on?
Not sure.
Okay.
Whoever shows up.
You guys just got to focus on yourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Brian, Sense or Sensibility. You're playing for 100 level seats to see the Sens and the Flames on Monday, February 13th. Okay, so I've got five questions for you, made up prop lines by me, and you're going to get two choices on each question. You want to pick the answer you believe will have the higher number, okay?
Good.
You're going to go last. You got to beat one of Simmer or Hammer to win the tickets, which has not
Simmer.
Happened, although it did happen a lot.
It actually happens a lot.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
This should not be that difficult.
All right, here we go. Number one of five. Simmer, you'll go first.
Okay.
Ridley Gregg's penalty minutes in both games this weekend, total. Ridley Gregg penalty minutes or number of field goals in the 49ers-Eagles game on Sunday? Ridley Gregg penalty minutes or field goals in the Niners-Eagle game?
So you say penalty minutes in total or
yes.
Number of penalties?
Penalty minutes.
Oh, penalty minutes for sure, all day long. Oh, man, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, Gregor's in a good spot here centering Giroux and DeBrincat. He'll get a little sandpapery, but he's not going to be taking many penalties. Give me the field goals.
All right, Brian.
I'm riding with Hammer on this one. Field goals.
All right.
Said nobody.
I think that's a mistake, Brian.
Number two, here we go. Longest touchdown in either of the playoff games on Sunday. The length of the longest touchdown or the total shots on goal in the Sens-Habs game. So, total shots in the Sens-Habs game or the longest touchdown in either of the playoff games?
Yeah, boy, you got three teams that could air it out here. I'll have some fun. I'm going to go with a nice long bomb by somebody in the football.
Okay, Hammer.
Some defenses there. I'm going to go with shots on goal.
Okay, Brian?
Shots on goal as well.
Okay.
Yeah, Brian.
All right. It's shaping up as a Brian and Hammer versus Simmer. Number three. Total goals in the Sens, Leafs, and the Sens Habs game. So total goals, both games, both teams, all teams. Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or Travis Kelce receptions versus the Bengals. So total goals in both of the Sens games this weekend for both teams, or Travis Kelce receptions versus the Bengals.
He had a monster week last week of 14. There's not a chance the Bengals are going to allow that, and we're talking at least 15 goals in the two hockey games. Taking the hockey all day long.
All right, Hammer.
Yeah, I was thinking 14 goals between the two games, and I don't think Travis Kelce's going to reach that mark again, so I'll take the goals.
All right, Brian, going with the boys,
yeah,
or you're going on your own?
Yeah.
All right. Number four, Jake Sanderson's ice time tonight versus Toronto, plus or minus his plus or minus, or Jalen Hurts' completions versus the Niners. So Jake Sanderson's ice time, plus or minus, is plus or minus, or the number of Jalen Hurts completions versus San Francisco.
Oh, I take it Hurts all day long here. That's simplistic.
Okay. Yeah, but they could get out to a big lead, then you're handing the ball off, and then the completions are
best
down.
Best running team in the NFL anyway. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, what are you going with? What was the other option?
Sanderson ice time, plus or minus, is plus or minus.
I'll take Sandy.
All right. Okay, Brian, you going with Hammer again, or are you going with Simmer?
No, I'm going with Simmer this time.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
Number five, last one. Total goals for the 67s only in their three games this weekend. So total goals by the 67s only, three games this weekend, or total shots by DeBrincat, Giroux, and Gregg versus Montreal. All right, so total goals by the 67s, all three games, or total shots DeBrincat, Giroux, and Gregg versus Montreal. Simmer.
That's a fun one. I know 67s score a lot, but I do think against them. Claude Giroux against Montreal. Ridley Gregg is flying. I think DeBrincat, when you look at that defense. So I'll actually take shots on goal for that trio.
All right.
Yeah, that's
Hammer.
A good toss-up, but I'll go with the 67s and goals.
All right. Brian, which way?
Going with Hammer again.
Going with Hammer again.
Oh, so you got to be... No, sorry. No. Last answer.
No,
you
exactly. We got some good separation on that. All right, Brian. Best of luck for the neighborhood watch tonight in the big flag football indoor game. Our fans, what's the ticket price for fans who want to go watch?
You can talk to me about that.
Okay. We'll talk off air with Brian.
Tall boys.
It's a trunk slammer night tonight. Absolutely. All right, Brian, good luck in that. Good luck in this. We'll do the math for you and report back on Monday. See if you won the tickets. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. There goes Brian, another satisfied customer. And there goes another spellbinding edition of Sens or Sensibility. Okay, we're going to take a break. Top of the hour update is upcoming. Next hour, more on the Sens and Leafs game tonight. And we'll set up a busy Sens weekend ahead. Get to more of your texts and more of your wrenches on this wrench-throwing Friday. And Duke Ellingson will join us next. We'll break down the playoff games coming up this weekend and have some, I guess, what ends up being a Super Bowl prediction. All straight ahead here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.